Life is full of choices. We make decisions all day. Even today, you had to make decisions. You made decisions based on what kind of clothes you wanted to wear to come to church, didn't you? You're going to make choices based on what would you like to have for lunch after we're done today here. We make choices. That's what makes us human, somebody says. I mean, life is full of choices. Now, some of the choices we make, they might not be, there are some good choices we make, but at the same time, there might be some better ones. I mean, even when it comes to eating, you might make good choices or healthy choices. And so it's like life is full about making decisions. What kind of phone do I want? A smartphone, an Apple? I mean, there's so many things. And, you know, especially in the society that we live, you go to a store and you come across so many choices that you don't even know how to decide. But you see, the choices we make them based on our preferences. We make choices based on our research. We already done a research about this car that I want to purchase or buy. And so it's like, maybe it gives me more gas mileage because I'm always commuting. And based on your research, based on what somebody tells you, you make those choices because it's more convenient to you. And in the same way, you know what I mean? Like so many stores, you go and you're faced with so many choices that you have to make. Who am I going to marry? And you already have a list. Like, it has to look, it has to be tall, it has to, like, you know, no short, you know, everybody, I mean, all these things. You make those choices based on your preferences. You know what I'm talking about. We make choices all the time. We make decisions, like I said, based on what we know. What is more suitable? It's like, well, that phone is going to help you, you know, because you got more of the things you can get in the computer. It's like, I mean, we have so many phones now that some people don't even know how to make a phone call with the phones that we have because there's so many gadgets into that. And for some people, you know, if I did a survey right in the church, which one is better, Pepsi or Coke? We might have some Coke people. We might have, some, you know, and it's like, again, choices that we make. And some of you might say, there might be a small percentage saying, none. I go with ginger ale or root beer. Choices. Full of choices. You see, we as Christian people, servants of God, we make choices every day too. Sometimes we might make Christ-centered choices or might be self-centered choices. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes with the choices we make, with the decisions that we make, we might be bringing glory to God, or the other decisions we make is just for us. It's all about me. The society that I'm living, it tells me all the time, it's about me. I gotta pursue, it's all about, and sometimes, you know, my choices reflect my attitude. Are they Christ-centered choices or self-centered? See, there was an incident in the Bible. Jesus is invited by a lady to have dinner at her house. And, you know, if you invited Jesus in those days, you had to realize that Jesus is not coming by himself. If you invited Jesus, you got to prepare food for 12 other guys. Because Jesus and his disciples. So you open your home to Jesus. You open your home to 12 men, the disciples of Jesus. And that was the case in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is invited, you know. And I think in that story, you're going to realize that there are some things that we do that might be good. But also there are other things that are better. So, how do we make the better decisions? How do we make the better choice? Making better choices. That's what I decided to entitle this sermon today. We're going to be spending some time in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, where we talk about this woman named Martha, and it says that she opened her home to Jesus, but it says in the text, in the context, will tell you that Jesus was coming with the disciples. So opening the home to Jesus means you're going to open the home. So imagine, you're not cooking for three people. Martha had a sister whose name was Mary and a brother whose name is Lazarus. That's three. Then Jesus, that's four plus 12. You know, that 16 people already. And you have to fix that meal. And fixing the meal wasn't really that problem. But, you know, in that society, if we go there and revisit how they did things, she had to provide water to wash all the feet of those men. That was the etiquette of that time. Feet washing, so, you know, and then change water and the bait. I mean, all those things. Then get things ready. They didn't have a grocery store that she can send somebody and buy things or, oh, order. Let's order out. It's not going to help you in that culture. You needed to fix that meal. So go with me to that context now, because she opened the home to Jesus. And you see, there's a difference. The text already lays that out for us. How Martha and Mary were so different in terms of like serving God. And I think we can learn so much about that, because we're talking about making choices. They made the choice to bring Jesus into their home. And what happened next? So if you got your Bibles with you, we're going to read Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. And we're going to learn what it means to make better choices in our own lives, even as Christian men and women. It says, verse 38, and Jesus and his disciples were on their way. You see, as Jesus and his disciples, so Jesus is not going by himself. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12 apostles later on. So as Jesus and his disciples are going on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. No wonder. Now you know why she was distracted. There's a lot of things that need to be taken care of, having that many men in the house. She was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him, to Jesus, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And the Lord says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed or necessary. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen what's better. Now, we're going to, through the sermon, we're going to find out what is it that Mary chose. So, that's the text. We know that Martha, like I said, she had a sister whose name was Mary, and they both had a brother whose name was Lazarus. John chapter 11 tells us the story that Lazarus was dead. There are the women who come to Jesus and say, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother had not died. Jesus loved going to Bethany. They had friendships over there. And so here's an incident that he comes with his disciples. She opened her home. It's like, you're having Jesus over for a meal. Man, that's awesome. And you know how it is. We know what it means to have somebody over for dinner. You want to get everything ready. And you know, sometimes you don't even have time to talk to the people because there's so many preparations. You clean the house. You do this. We can relate to that, to Martha. Now, the text points out the differences between Martha and Mary. And one of the things you see right there, Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. Verse 39. That's how she's introduced in our text. Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Some translation would say that she sat at the Lord's feet to listen to his words. Now, in that culture, 2,000 years ago, and even before that, even in the time of the Greeks, if you were a rabbi, you were a teacher, a philosopher, you had disciples, and they all sat around you to listen to your teaching. Remember Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. It says that Jesus sat, and everybody else came, and they sat around too. When he fed the 5,000, he had people sitting down by groups, people sitting down to listen to his teaching. It's interesting, Mary already selected to sit at the feet of Jesus, and that's a little awkward moment, because in that society, rabbis did not have women followers, like disciples. Women, and no offense to you women, in that society, you study, your job will be in the kitchen and to take care of the man. But like, to follow him, you know, it was the disciples, the men. And so, it was awkward that Mary is right there, maybe in a room full of men. And Jesus was okay with that, which can teach us a lot. If we just pay attention to what Jesus did, man, we have better churches. Because, you know, Jesus let her be there. I mean, as a rabbi, he should have said, Mary, this is not your place. Go help your sister. He allowed Mary to be at the feet of the Jesus. When you are at the feet of the master, you are there to receive instruction. You are there to receive. You're already saying, I'm a disciple. I want to hear what you have to say. And Luke doesn't want you to miss that. He says, and she had a sister who sat at the Lord's feet to hear his words, to listen to his instructions. This is Mary. Now, Martha, it says, this is what Luke tells us of Martha. NIV says she was preoccupied. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Some translations say that she was being pulled away by all the things, by all the work. The ESV, I love it because it's so literal. It says that she was so distracted with much serving. I mean, Martha was a servant heart lady, and she was just like doing, I mean, she knows that things needed to be done to have Jesus and the apostles in here. And she says she was distracted, pulled away by much serving. Have you ever been distracted by much serving? Have you ever been pulled away from other things because you're serving all the time? Maybe you can relate to Martha. She was preoccupied with all the preparations. The ESV and the King James Version are the one that says that she was distracted or pulled away with much serving. Now, we understand serving God is awesome. It's good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's what we've been called to serve Him. But when you come to a point that you're distracted, you're overwhelmed, because I see Martha, she's overwhelmed with all the things that she had to prepare that day for Jesus and the apostles. And it was too much. It's almost like she bit up more than she can chew in terms of like, oh, so many things that I want to get ready. You know how it is, like some of you go through that around Christmas time and the shoppings you had to do. It almost, the holiday of Christmas becomes painful because you're not getting the lights ready. And you're just running around like a chicken without a head. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you want to get things ready, and oh, you don't have time. I haven't done my shop. That's Martha. You know, all those things are good, but it's almost now, instead of you having some joy, you're overwhelmed because you're putting so much things on your plate, and you're not a superwoman or man that'll be able to handle all that, to juggle all these responsibilities that you have right now. Something got to give. Something you had to let it go. That was the issue with Martha. It says that she was overwhelmed. You see, like I said, she was a devoted servant. We see that in the text. But she was overwhelmed, it says, with all the preparations that had to be made. And then there was another problem. She had a sister, but Mary's not helping. Some of you that have people like that, siblings, when the sister's not helping and you think she should be helping you, you know how that would fly. It's like, really? And Martha just had it. So, you see, she's serving the Lord, but the service became so overwhelmed. Now I'm angry with my sister. And she did the right thing, though, even though she was angry. Because I think if we did that, whenever we're angry with somebody, if we just bring that issue to Jesus, man, it would be so much better. She came right to the Lord with her preoccupations and you know, anxiety. Look what he says. Verse 40 again, when Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made, she came to him, to Jesus, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? And then tell her to help me. So if Jesus tell Mary to do something, she would do it. So I got to go to Jesus with this complaint that I had. And she did. Lord, don't you care? I mean, aren't you concerned that my sister have left me to do all the serving, the ESV would say, all the serving all by myself? Then tell her to help me. Now, have you ever complained about somebody because they were not serving or doing the things that you thought they should be doing? I think maybe at one time we all have, you know. Have you complained about somebody maybe because they were not serving according to your agenda, according to your standard? Have you ever complained about somebody? Because that's why Martha thought Mary should be helping. I mean, the culture actually would say that she should be there in the kitchen too. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care? I mean, don't you even care that, you know, I'm sweating here in this kitchen and doing things and getting water here. And there she is sitting at your feet. Don't you care? I mean, tell her to help me. And I think I learned from that, just that phrase right there, that when I have a complaint about somebody, I think I should bring that to Jesus first. Now, when you're going to complain about somebody in the church or in your family, let me tell you, bring it to Jesus, but don't be mad with what he tells you to do. Don't get angry with what Jesus is going to tell you to do. So Martha did it. She brought that complaint to Jesus and listened to Jesus' response. The following verse, It says, Martha, Martha, the Lord said, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what's better. That's the NIV. Other translation will say, Mary has chosen the best portion, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, you are worried, you are anxious about all these things that you had to do. I mean, remember the Bible talks about do not be anxious about anything? I mean, we might become anxious about even when we're serving God. You don't be anxious about anything. Jesus said, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink. You know, you have a heavenly Father who will take care of you. And now Martha is worried and upset with Mary because all the things that she wanted to do for Jesus. And the Lord just says, Martha, Martha, I mean, you're upset and angry about all these things, but only one thing is needed. Only one thing is really important right now. And Mary has chosen that. And then Jesus said, and guess what? It's not going to be taken away from her. Now, the question for you and I is, what is it that Mary chose? Now, when the text says that she chose to spend time with Jesus, I call that quality time with Jesus. I mean, think about, Jesus came to see you, and you're so busy doing things in the house, you don't even have time for him. Because you want to prepare the meal. That's your main focus. And Jesus' focus is, I want to spend time with you, talk with you. Mary chose what's better. Serving God is good, but spending quality time with him is better. Oh, it's like, so it's good to serve the Lord. How many times you might be serving God and you don't even know him that well? How many times you might be serving God and you don't spend time with him? You see, for me as a preacher, I can relate to that because we go to school to learn the Bible. We go to school to be training that. And sometimes you treat this as a textbook. It's almost like I gotta read it because it's homework. I have to read the Bible because I gotta preach to you about that. And then serving. If I don't spend time with God on my own, that all that serving that I'm doing, it's not gonna be good. It might be good, but it's not gonna be better. And even when I went to Bible college, I remember we live in the school, and we had, on Wednesday night, we had something called focus. Because we set aside all our homeworks, all our things, and we just go to the chapel and praise God with music and just hear a sermon. I mean, we just want to refocus, remember ourselves, why we were there in the first place. Are you being pulled away with much serving God that you neglect the most important thing, which is quality time with him? Spending time with Jesus. That's what Jesus said. Mary chose what's best. Because she sat at the feet of the Lord. You see, Martha's problem wasn't serving. It was that she got too much thing to do. You know how it is in church sometimes that you think you want to do that because it's always been done, but now you don't have volunteers and you still want to do it. And you piling up things on that, and it becomes dreadful. I don't think God intends for us to serve him with because we had to do it. I mean, Jesus even said, God loves a cheerful giver. Whatever you're going to give me, it has to come from your heart. You're going to do that because we've always been doing it. We had to do it. Don't do it for the Lord then. Now, you might be rewarded. People might like it, but God ain't pleased. God's not going to be pleased because it doesn't really come from the heart because you're doing just because you become like Martha. I gotta get those. And the Lord says, you're upset and worried about many things. Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is necessary, some translation would say. And Mary has chosen that one thing, and it will not be taken away from her. What is that thing that Mary chose? To spend quality time with Jesus. You know, one of the love languages, there's five love languages, Gary Chapman, one of those love languages is quality time. Couples, you understand that. You don't have quality times, your marriage is going to suffer. And sometimes people pull up because of the jobs and you know, because you have to bring money to the table, but you don't spend time with your family. Newsflash. You're going to suffer. Quality time is more important than all the other things you want to do. And it's like, that was the problem with Martha. How many times? You know, we get involved in so many serving God and it's good. It's good to serve the Lord, but are we taking time to spend, you know, to be in quality time with Jesus? Are we spending time to be with Jesus? To listen to his words? That's why in that text, Mary made the best choice. And what she chose was to quality time with Jesus. You may be so busy serving God that you might neglect to know Him. Remember, the last 2 weeks I was talking about worship, and I said, not because you go to a worship service doesn't guarantee that you will worship. You understand that? You can go to a worship service and come empty. You did not worship the Lord. You were there. The same thing applies to serving. Not because you're serving God doesn't mean that He might be pleased with that service that you're doing. Or maybe what you're serving might not even be what He wants you to do. Have you ever thought about that? But maybe you say, well, how do I know that I'm doing what the Lord asked me to do? You know how you find that out? When you spend quality time with Him. That's where those things you're going to realize, oh, this is what He wants me to do. This is where He wants me to go. You might be busy with serving God and neglecting the most important thing, which is quality time with Him. You see, that Mary of Bethany we're talking about, later on, she did an amazing thing to Jesus. And I preach about that. Remember, she was the one who anointed Jesus. She broke this nard perfume and poured that on Jesus. And everybody thought she did something wasteful. And Jesus said, she has done a beautiful thing. And as long as the gospel is preached, what she did always be remembered. The devotion that Mary had for Jesus, she did not learn that in the kitchen. The devotion that Mary had for Jesus, she did not learn that just doing other things. She learned that devotion because she spent time at the feet of Jesus. And if we don't do the same, whatever else we're doing for God is going to become just, well, it's good. Some people might like it, but I don't want just because people like it. I want to do it because the Lord is pleased. And then He says, you did the right thing. You have chosen better. Or like in Indiana Jones movie, you have chosen wisely. I mean, when Jesus said that, man, who cares what everybody else is saying? You may be serving God and not necessarily know Him. Now, let me ask you, don't let serving God keep you from knowing God in a more intimate level. Don't let serving God, I mean, that's what you see in Matthew 21. Mike was talking about that the other day on Friday, that passage where people came to Jesus and said, Lord. Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only he who does the will of my Father. Then He said, for many will say in my name, Lord, didn't we prophesy or preach in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do miraculous signs in your name? So that's serving God. And the Lord says, yes, but I don't even know you. Depart from me. And the Lord put him on the same category as wicked people. All these, I mean, to me, that's one of the scariest portions of the Bible, that people have been serving God all these years, and at the end of the day, they did not even make it to heaven because serving, but you never gave your heart to the Lord. That's like, whoa. Serving is good, but spending quality time with Jesus, getting to know Jesus, is even better. Now, let me give you an illustration so that something that just happened, something I've been dealing with some people. So you understand the whole idea. Like, there's some things that you do good, and there are good things. But even among things, even in the midst of the things that we do in church, there are those things that are better. I know a couple that have been struggling with their marriage. They've been married for quite a while now. And my wife and I met with them via Skype, with the technology, you know, because they wanted to talk to us about what's going on. And so I'm listening to the stories and things, and you know, one of the things I figure out right away is that quality time wasn't there. She said, you know, the wife says, you know, we were invited to this wedding. And, you know, I wanted to really go, you know, the two of us go and travel to the wedding. But then he's at a church, helping at a church, which is good. He's helping at a church because he's a musician. He's teaching people how to play, you know, the instrument. And he's doing a lot of things in that church. He's helping the band in that church. You understand? So she said, you know, I really wanted to go to the wedding, so I ended up going by myself. And I said to him, you needed to go to the wedding with your wife. Helping that music and the band is good, but going with your wife to the wedding is better. Your first church, what is it? Your family. If you're neglecting your family for the sake of doing other things in the church, You're failing God. God's going to hold you accountable, I said to him, right there. And then, we're looking at each other through the screen, but I had to tell him. I said, you see, all the things that you're doing are good, but what's your first ministry? Your family. And so, you see, he's doing a good thing. He's doing a ministry for the church, but he could have done better. You're going to sacrifice your marriage for the sake of doing ministry? You think Jesus is going to say to you, well done? I don't think so. I mean, you see, even the qualifications for elders, one of the things it says, if he cannot manage his house, he cannot be a leader in the church of God. Because he says right there, if you cannot manage your house, what makes you think that you're going to manage the church where there's so many people and different personalities and preferences that it will drive you nuts? So I had to tell him that. I said, next time that you both are invited, you have to go. You realize the quality time you both can spend in a car talking to one another. You don't have any kids. Just talk to one another and get to know it. And whatever happens in the wedding, you can come back and reminisce about that. I mean, that's quality time. You're not spending time. I mean, there was a point they were going to different churches. I'm saying, that's not no. You got to go to the same place. I mean, they gave me the authority. That's why I had to get on their faces, to be the preacher. So I said, you go to a wedding. Next time there's something, the two of you got to go. And then the wife had told me later on, that she had told them, tell the people at the church that you won't be able to make it. And then she would say, do you tell him? No. Like three times, do you tell him? I said, next time, you got to tell those people. I say, hey, sorry, I got to go with my wife somewhere. That's more important, man. You see, there's some things that we do that are good, but there are some things that are more important. And then Jesus. There was another man that I know, and he's a talented individual, man. He can play, he can sing, amazing. And he's at a church also. When you look at his background, he was raised in the church. He has a family now. But even within the family, the kids don't even know what they believe anymore. Because he's been so busy helping this church with the music, and the family just drifting away from the Lord. Now, think about you. Which one is better? That you sacrifice the family that God gave you, and one day someone said to you, what do you do with your wife I gave you? What do you do with the kids I gave you? And then you say, Lord, I was so busy for you. And it's like, that's what I want. That's not what I want you to do. You have chosen, that was good that you were busy, but this is better. Like I always say, our family, that's our first church. I told you, if I had an argument with my wife, I cannot get over here and preach. It's almost like the Lord is telling me, you got to fix that, man. Don't get over there and be hypocritical. And then I look at my wife and then she'd be like, I mean, I cannot get over here and talk to you about that when I know we're not okay. In the quality time, if I'm preaching here, we're doing okay. Praise God, we're doing, and that's the whole idea. There's some things that we do, and we might be involved in many things, but they're also things that are better. And we have to understand which ones are, which one will be more Christ-centered decisions that we make. Like I said, our first church is our family that he's giving us. Now, serving God is good, like I've been talking about. But spending quality time with him is way better. Now, why is quality time with Jesus better? Why to spend time with Jesus is better? Let me tell you why this is awesome. And there's no replacement for spending time, quality time with Jesus. Because it is sitting at the feet of Jesus that you're going to see things with a different perspective. It is by spending time with Jesus that you're going to adopt this Christ-centered attitude about things in life. Everything else you do. To develop this worldview, this Christ-centered worldview, only happens, not serving God, only happens by spending time with him. Getting to know him. You know how you spend time with somebody? That's why a lot of time people say, long-distance relationships are very tough because you only see that person on the screen. And, not everybody can do that, they would tell you. Because you need that touch feeling, the quality time. You're there. You can see Jesus getting angry at people and teaching. You're right there. What makes him happy? What makes him sad? What makes him mad? It's by spending quality time that you get to know that. Now, spending quality time at the feet of Jesus will also redefine your worship and your service. It's almost like it will give a new meaning to the things that you do for Him. It will enrich your life because now you're doing it, not because I have to, but it's going to be a joy. Even when you get a lot of things that you have to do for Him, because He's redefining how you view things in this life. He's redefining how you look at the world. You're looking at the world through the eyes of Jesus now. And that can only happen when you spend quality time with Him. When you spend time at the feet of Jesus. Another thing that I learned, you know how many times in church we complain that our faith is not where it should be? Have you ever thought maybe it's because you're not spending quality time with Him? The faith, that trust in Him, somebody said, the more I know, there was a Bayer commercial that says, the more I know, the more I trust. The same way applies to God. The more that you get to know Him, the more that you're going to trust Him and realize, you know, whatever I'm going through right now, it's nothing because I got somebody greater. But that only happens for you to develop that faith, to increase your faith, only is going to take place when you spend time at the feet of Jesus. I don't see any other way that our faith is going to be increased. And to be at the feet of Jesus, we have to spend time in His book. We got to get to know Him. I mean, I love Paul. Paul says, even the suffering he went through, he said, nothing compares to the greatness of what? Of serving you? Or nothing compares to the greatness of going to church. And you know what Paul says? Nothing compares to the greatness of knowing you. Like all my life, it's like, you know, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection. And then he says one day, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Why would you say that, Paul? Because this is a man that spent time at the feet of Jesus. He wasn't playing. It's interesting. Every time Jesus healed somebody, like there was a demon-possessed man one time, and he used to live in the tombs, and people would tie him with chains, and he would break him. And when you read that story, it's amazing because people were afraid of this demon-possessed individual. Jesus came to town. Jesus cast out the demon. Then people came to see, and they were even more terrified. And what did they saw? The man was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then he said to Jesus, I want to follow you. And then Jesus said, no, go to your town and tell people how great, how wonderful and merciful God has been towards you. Go tell, be my witness now. But it's interesting, after everything was settled, the man was at the feet of Jesus as a disciple. And that's when I redefine everything he does in life. My friends, I cannot say it enough. It is at the feet of Jesus that we get to know Him. Spending time with Him. You know, you want to redefine your worship life or your prayer life, your service to God is spending time with Him. And then you realize you have a fresh look to serving God, even to be a better husband and wife. I mean, you want to be better? Spend time with Jesus, man. That's what I tell couples when I marry, when I do their weddings. I say, you know, it's a you, but you got to keep Jesus in there because you're going to have trouble. That's why Paul says it's better for man not to marry, because he who marries will have trouble. That's what he said, and that's true. So it's like you go into that relationship thinking like, oh, it's going to be wonderful. Mm-mm. Get ready. But then if you don't have a foundation or somebody can just hold you the two together, like Paul says that God's holding the whole universe together. He's holding you and I together. Then you're going to fall apart and you won't be able to go 57 years because it's going to be hard work. You know, but there's so many things out there, like spending time with each other, so key. So when we spend time with God, everything in our lives will have the proper perspective, the proper place. I love the third day song. And you know, I was looking up the scripture where they got it from, and it was from Philippians 3, verse 8. When he said the third day song goes, nothing compares to the greatness of knowing you, Lord. And I said, that's so true. I mean, whatever else you're going to do, if you're not knowing God, Jesus would say, you're upset and all those things. I mean, and you have missed the mark. You have missed the most important thing, which is what Mary chose, quality time with Him. So spending quality time with Jesus is the better thing that we can do in our churches. I mean, don't let serving God drown you or keep you from spending time. Serving God is awesome. It's good. But if you're not taking the time to spend time with Him, how good is the service is going to be? Service is good, but spending quality time with the Lord is way better.